This portion of the show is brought to you by American Trailer Company. Visit them at americantraileraz.com.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today after, well, nearly a two-week break, although I did, what, three or four shows? What did we do? Three or four? You did one. What did you do, like 1 hour?
I don't remember.
Angela's here with me today. Back at it, trying to save Western civilization from its own idiocy.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're succeeding at that. I feel like after 2 weeks of really tuning it out, I come back, it's just boom, same thing. It's like nothing.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. With you know, anytime you travel abroad, you see and hear some different news, very little that I did pay attention to while over there. Like, but once in a while, I get a glimpse of the TV or something when you're at an airport or restaurant or some situation, right? And it's like, yeah, their attention, obviously, much more European-centric, obviously, right? But you don't even hear about a lot of this stuff over here. We're all kind of in our echo isolation chambers, I think, everywhere in the world. And my take on it, though, and judging by the mountain of news items that I've piled up to get to here today is, especially over in Europe, Western civilization, you know, is on the run a bit from its own idiocy, though, from people that, you know, just that these kind of declines shouldn't be happening, but they are. And, you know, we're really good at it here, too. But the Europeans are exceptionally well at trying to destroy their own Western civilization, in my opinion. And I got some demographic information here that we'll get to during the program about how nobody's having babies anymore, especially the Western
especially countries. There, but even in Korea and other spots.
Oh, Korea's a death spiral. Yeah. It's like, you know, replacements.
Japan,
what,
too.
Replacements 2.1 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Two. Let's just go with that, right?
No, I think Korea is less than
Korea's
one.
Like, it's like 0.6 or something.
Yeah,
you know, I think 0.6 it's something like that. Per woman, right? Because, I mean, we still live in a world where women have babies, right?
Yeah.
I think that may be part of the problem, is they, you know, maybe the birth rate is spiraling out of control because guys who just
are
pretending to be women,
this.
They think that they can have babies. So maybe that's part of the problem. But no, it's just
scary thought.
Yeah, it is scary thought. But like, Korea and Japan, Italy, most of Western Europe, those countries are, the birth rates are very, 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 very low. Most cases below one. I think even the U.S. is like 1.6. But a lot of the Middle Eastern countries, the African nations, places like that, they still have a much higher birth rate. So a lot of the places that we would call the third world, you know, continue to have lots of babies. Not like they were, though. I was listening to a podcast earlier today. Not in the same numbers like they have been. It's really slowing down. In China, forget about it. Population is diving off a cliff.
Well, yeah.
Off a cliff. The demographics of China are very, very bad because of the one-child policy that's now
kicking in.
Well,
yeah, but then that's like caused a major problem now with not enough women to have the babies.
Exactly.
Because they had the one son and they stopped after that. And then now all the sons, they can't find wives.
Yeah, and then they had multiple decades later since they stop that policy. They're trying to encourage, you know, nation after nation is trying to encourage women to have babies. But how do you do that? What can you do?
I just read recently that France is, you know, they've declared it, or all of a sudden they're finding out that, maybe we need to have more kids in France.
Yeah.
And
get to it.
So they're doing stuff like longer maternity leave, better health care. You know, just kind of, I guess, to maybe make it easier or make it more appealing for people that don't want to because I can't get the time off work or I don't have health insurance or, you know, I don't have money for daycare or whatever. So they're basically subsidizing.
They're incentivizing
for that reason.
Yeah.
Which isn't probably the right reason to do it, to have a kid. But I mean, I guess if that was what was preventing you. Then maybe some will, but I don't think that
not
enough are going to change their mind. I think it's more of a, and in Korea too, because women have focused more on their careers and they've been more empowered in the last, I don't know, what do you think, 50 years or whatever.
Not just there, worldwide.
No, yeah.
And urbanized.
No, yeah. But when I was reading about Korea recently, too, was that, yeah, they've been pushed to be focused on their careers, and kids get in the way of that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Kids don't slow you down in anything. Well, we wouldn't change it for the world. We're above replacement. We did three.
Yeah.
We did our part.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard to incentivize, and we'll get more to it in a little bit because I find it fascinating, especially after traveling and not seeing little kids, and especially Italy and Greece. Mm-hmm. I was like, where are the kids? It's just old people walking around, right? Mm-hmm. You can't incentivize, you know, it's going to be really hard because it's a societal thing now to not have kids. And then, mm-hmm. you know, they're pounded in that a lot of people are pounded that from the corrupt education system that if I have a kid, I'm destroying the earth because that's right. one more True. This.
You know, or they're going to grow up with a really, you know,
low quality life.
Lifestyle yeah. and all that. Yeah. yeah.
And by not having kids though, and I'm getting way ahead of myself on this one because I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to cover on this, but by not having kids, they're actually creating a demographic cliff that will make the life of the average person on the planet probably worse because there ain't enough people for growth to service everything that needs to happen mm-hmm. to, quite frankly, service and healthcare fields and other fields, all the old people, mm-hmm. you know, because the population is aging. It's aging tremendously. So you don't even have the workers to support that going forward. And that's Japan is facing that. I don't mm-hmm. you know, I guess we'll have robots. Maybe everybody will be lonely with their robot, their iRobot turning red and making you stay inside.
Robots aren't going to create money for Social Security and things like that.
No, there's no
Medicare.
Yeah. There's no positive impact there because people have to spend. I guess the robots maybe become self-aware and then they'll start growing the economy. I don't know. Maybe that's that'll be interesting, right? All right. Love to hear from you. Comments, welcome. I got a few piled up here. We'll get to in just a bit. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You can also always leave a comment on the listener line. Just leave a message and we'll work it in the show. 877-971-3971. I want to get to Trump, though, and the trial stuff that happened today and the bond issues and really one of the most corruption-laden things I've ever seen, which is the attempt to seize assets by these politicians on a case, in my opinion, that had no real victims and they just made something up. And then, hey, you owe the government, you know, $500 million now because we say so. This is scary Stalinistic type stuff. So coming home to that is concerning to say the least. But before I do that, thank you to all our great sponsors. By the way, thank you to Mark Howitt for filling in.
Right.
Did a great job. Yeah. Talked with Mark earlier today. He'll be in tomorrow, of course, on his normal Tuesday day with me. He did a great job. He's also, he's got his podcast going that he's pushing and he's trying to get a couple episodes out a week or an episode a week or so. So check that out. And let me find, I had it here, but now it's gone. I'll get you the information on Mark's podcast because he's really trying to push that and you know do his own thing too and bring out information and stuff for people there as well. I do want to thank all of our sponsors as well, especially Zero Res of Northern Arizona. Zero Res, where you can get your carpets clean. They do such a great job. And get your carpets cleaned, your tile. They do that tile cleaning. They also do the fabrics on your vehicles, your couches, things like that. And they also do the ducts, you know, the mm-hmm. heating
cleaning
and cooling
up.
Ducts.
Right. Because so they get lint and like
what's
dirt.
What's in there? You probably don't even know. You don't even
dust,
know.
Dust, hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Micro type things and mm-hmm. nasty stuff you drop in the register and the floor. Mm-hmm. You imagine what's in there?
Yeah.
You know?
Especially in the kitchen.
You don't want to know.
No. Nah.
That's why you got to call Zero Res Northern Arizona, zeroresnorthernarizona.com. And they've got a great special right now. You know, they started this business right at the height of the COVID hysterics. So interesting time to start any kind of company and say, hey, I want to come in your house, clean your carpet and stuff, right? Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. they want to give back because they've had a great success in Northern Arizona. So they're offering, and this thing is ending here pretty soon, April 5th, on the 15% off all services, 15% off all services. Promo code CELEBRATE15, all one word, CELEBRATE15 when you call 928-378-8888. 928-378-8888. Mention CELEBRATE15 as the promo code. Get 15% off the carpet cleaning, tile cleaning, duct cleaning, fabrics, you name it. Call them up right now. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. 928-378-8888. Okay, so.
By the way, real quick.
Yes.
Mark's podcast.
Thank you.
The Ringleaders. Ring. ringleaders.com. Well, his website is theringleaders.org.
Org. He's an
and
org.
And that okay. has a link to the podcast, which okay. I have not done that yet, but...
Yeah, go ahead. And Mark told me that Apple yeah. Podcasts, which used to be like iTunes or whatever, Apple Podcasts just approved it. So they have a process where they... And that's the big one. I mean...
Yeah, it looks like there's two.
40-50% of my hits come from Apple Podcasts still. It's still the big daddy out there. So if you're on that or other podcasts, I think he said he was, you know, Amazon. He's on all the ones that we are on. So if you're listening to the podcast, look up The Ringleaders.
Theringleaders.org, and there's a link to it. I don't know if that's what it's
called. Just type in The Ringleaders in the podcast and subscribe, and we appreciate that. I'll have Mark talk more about it tomorrow on the program as well. So Trump has 10 days to come up with $175 million now. So earlier today, this morning, he was in court. This was like an appeals court. So he's starting to work up the chain of courts, hoping that this will eventually go to Supreme Court, I think. By that point, I mean, you know how long this all takes. So he'll either be president or not at that point. We'll be that far along. But remember, this was the so-called fraud ruling that the New York AG office did because they said that he lied and committed fraud when it came to applying for loans for his businesses, for his real estate, right?
And he overestimated the worth of his assets.
This goes to tell you how worthless these politicians are. They're so stupid. I mean, they have no clue what they're talking about. They said that he overestimated, like Angela said, the net value of his assets. So take a big building, a skyscraper. I don't know if you've ever been. We've been at like Trump Tower and this and that in New York, right? And these are New York-based companies, which is a mistake nowadays. You do not register your company in New York or any of these blue states, as a matter of fact. Do not do that. But if you're there and you've got these buildings, you can't get out. You can't sell these things. All of a sudden, it takes years to sell.
It's a long
properties
process
like
too.
This. Yeah, a commercial property can take years to sell. So, you know, he goes in years ago to get a loan, goes to a bank, says, I don't know what the amount was, but I need $100 million for this tower, whatever, Trump Tower, right? Yeah, and it's worth $500 million, so why not? I'm just making up these numbers, but just to give you an example. They say, okay, Mr. Trump, we've done tons of business with you, and we're a big bank. We know what we're doing. We're not like, you know, the corner, and I'm not saying credit unions don't know what they're doing, but we're not the corner credit union that's never done a commercial loan before or something, or you know, Bob's Lending Services. These are highly institutionalized banking organizations that know what they're doing, right? I mean, come on. And then they say, okay, we'll give you money. You got to get an appraisal, though. They're going to order up an appraisal, which they did. They even said that they didn't feel defrauded at all. He paid back the money.
That's the crazy thing.
He paid
thing.
Back the money,
That's
right?
That's the crazy thing, because no one was complaining about it.
No one was complaining about it. There's no crime here. But they say he overvalued the assets in the estimates, but what does it matter? Because a lot of real estate people do this because they think it's worth a certain amount. That's why you have price discovery in the market. If you sell it, you put it out there, and Angela comes along and says, okay, Jeff, your tower is, you're asking $100 million. It's only worth 50. I'll give you 50. And you negotiate and you find that price point, right? Or you have a professional appraiser come in and they say, hey, based on other sales, other assets, you know, all these factors, we think it's actually worth $75 million. They did that. And yet these ding-dong politicians and this ding-dong judge, which is just a politician at this point, come up with the figure of $454 million to fine Trump for this victimless crime, right? $454 million, right? And then they add in the interest and fees and penalties per day because he didn't pay it off, you know, the next day, $111,000 per day in interest, fees, et cetera, right? So all of a sudden it's like ballooned to, I don't know, $500-$600 million, right? And today was the day where they were bringing him in saying, okay, you got to either pay it or come up with a bond saying you're going to back it up. You got the assets to back it up. And this company guarantees. So you put up a certain amount of money. They guarantee you're going to make payment because they've looked at your financials and et cetera, et cetera. He couldn't find a company to do that. Apparently looked at lots of different companies and they didn't
want to do the bond.
Yeah. And I probably won't either because there's a political witch hunt going on. So when you get into that, when you're away from a normal situation where it's like, okay, this is Normalville. We're not concerned about political forces. As soon as you mix that in, they're probably like, this is too risky for us because somebody can come in, they're going to attack you. And no, we're not going to touch this thing. So anyway, they wanted the money. And then there's a lot of critics out there saying, well, Trump says he values his assets at $10 billion. I've seen estimates on Forbes that maybe it's three, maybe it's four, maybe it's five. I've seen multiple estimates, right? Mm-hmm. Even if he was worth $10 billion, he doesn't have $600 million sitting in the corner.
I know, yeah.
This is the mistake.
Yeah, a lot of people think that someone's net worth, like say, you know, Elon Musk or whoever, and they talk about how much this person's worth.
$200 trillion or billion or whatever.
They don't have that money sitting in a bank account somewhere.
No.
And people think that, I mean, even you know, your guy next door, you think, oh yeah, that guy is a millionaire or whatever. Yeah. Doesn't mean he has a million in the bank. He just has assets worth
$1 million.
Which is not something you can just...
It's illiquid generally.
Exactly.
And in Trump's case, it's very illiquid because it's not even a publicly traded stock. You might be able to argue to these nitwit politicians that, okay, publicly traded company, let's say an Elon Musk, and he gets fined a certain amount. Well, you've got, you know, $10 billion worth of Tesla stock. I'm just throwing out numbers here. So you could raise $10 billion tomorrow. Well, maybe in theory, but as soon as he tries to move $10 billion in stock, the stock price craters, and then it's not $10 billion, it's $9 billion or $8 billion, whatever. Yeah. But when you're talking real estate, like your neighbor, okay, some trip and fall accident lawyer comes in, right? And I see on paper you're worth $2 million. Well, yeah, because the house in Flagstaff's worth 1.5 and I live in it.
Yeah.
I can't squeeze money out of it all of a sudden, right? So, of course, he couldn't come up with $500-600 million, right? Because it's just not there. And I think they wanted to seize it because they don't care about the money. It's not like, oh, they're going to shift it today. I don't think they are. They would never do that, right? They're not going to shift it to their bank account or something. It's just, to them, it's just more government money. It's all play money. It's like they're playing Monopoly with other people's money. They just wanted the political spectacle of Donald Trump's assets being seized. Picture a big padlock on there, whatever. Not that would happen either. It just transfer ownership to the state. They wanted to transfer his assets to the state more than anything else. Well, the judge stepped in the appeals court, put a basically lowered the amount to $175 million bond in 10 days. So really a win for Trump because that's a much more reasonable number. He claims he's got about $500,000 sitting aside, which he was intending to use on the campaign and this and that, which I don't really believe because he did that in the early stages in 16. Mm-hmm. And then he used other people's money, right? Once the campaign got rolling. So he can probably come up with the money now, or at least get somebody to bond it and say, yeah, he's got the assets to cover this thing.
Right.
So it's a big win. The other win was appeals court also put a stay on barring Trump and his sons, Eric and Don Jr., from serving as officers in the companies. That was another thing they said. You can't serve in your own company. In New York, right? Mm-hmm. So the appeals court also did that. So I don't know if you call any of this a victory for Trump, but a better situation right now than he was in just, you know, a few short hours ago.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
This morning or something. Yeah.
And I think about it, how old's Trump? 70. How old's Trump? 77 years old. 77 years old, and he's getting bombarded like this all the time. From the state, from the government, from these politicians. I don't know how he holds up.
I know.
Right? I don't know how he holds up. Yeah. A guy that gets, you know, 4 hours of sleep or something.
That's what he claims, I think, yeah.
That's what he claims. You never know with him. And I'm having a trouble holding up. I have jet lag. I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of things. I'm hallucinating at this point. I mean, I feel like I've been out all weekend on this bender thing or something, right? And I didn't. I assure you, I just flew on a Boeing plane over here. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, when I came back from Europe in January after, you know, getting Isabella all settled over there. And I came back, you were making fun of me.
What a wimp.
I know.
Yeah.
Look at yourself.
Now she's like an expert. She did it twice in 1 year.
No.
Twice last year.
Well, I never would have otherwise, but
Yeah.
You know, the circumstances were there.
We had a great time. Yeah. But I am a bit jet lagged, that time change. We all are.
Olivia and Isabel were up at 5:30 today. Olivia and
Owen. She doesn't even remember the names of our kids.
We're up at 5:30 and normally they're like 6:15, 6:30. Yeah.
We're all up at 5:30. We're all up at 5:30 this morning looking at each other like, why are you people up? Leave me alone. I need some quiet time.
And then all of us were like, yeah, we've been awake for a while.
I was awake since 4:30. I was moving around. All right. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to call my good friends at Diamond Auto Glass right there on 4th Street in Flagstaff. They've done a great job for us for years. Fixing those rock chips is important. And yeah, when we came back up yesterday, we hit snow. We're like, oh, come on. It's the end of March. You know, is it going to end soon? It's good. The creeks are flowing now, so we'll take it. But those rocks, those cinders still on the road, Diamond Auto Glass will get that rock chip fixed really quick. Or they can do your whole new windshield. You need a new windshield because it's just cracked all the way down right in your line of sight. Call Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Let's see, another one that happened today is the UN passed a Gaza ceasefire resolution. So basically worthless resolution, but political pressure and pressure from the nations around the world to stop all actions going forward here in Gaza.
I'm curious why they did they do that with the Russia-Ukraine thing?
I think they did, but the more important question would be, did they do that with the Hamas did the attack against Israel, right? Mm-hmm. Did they do we want Hamas and terrorist organizations to stop attacking Israel and other nations? Did they do that? I don't recall that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look into that.
I don't remember. Yeah. I mean, they may have done a we support Israel resolution, but I bet you they didn't even do that. But did they do a, hey, Hamas, stop?
Yeah.
Right. But no, they want the UN passes, and what a useless organization. What an absolutely useless organization. Why do we put money into this? Why are we involved with this thing? Why? What? It does nothing for the U.S. anymore and just is a hindrance around the world at this point. But anyway, everybody's got to come together and have bureaucratic powwows and, you know, drive around in Mercedes just and third world
setting,
nations,
jet spending,
setting and all that. Yep. Not to be outdone, the Flagstaff City Council. Did you hear this one? They're going to move forward with a future agenda. They can't fix the pothole in front of the Aquaplex in my town, right? There's a big pothole
there.
I've been publicly talking about the dang pothole that sucks in a car. They can't fix things like that and many other things, but they're going to take up the time to move forward with a future agenda item to discuss. Again, I haven't voted on yet, but they're going to discuss a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
What a waste of time.
Your local government at work, folks.
I mean, that's just an amazing waste of time.
Yeah. Again, did they do a resolution against Hamas and saying Hamas should stop these attacks?
I don't know.
I want to see him, you know, fairly do this here at this point, right? Did they do that? No. But anyway, my hometown, I come home to roads that are a mess and problems galore and spending out of control.
Traffic snarls,
you name it. But no, they're going to send their resolution. If it passes, I bet you it will. It'll take time to send.
It will do absolutely nothing. What does that do besides
nothing.
Feel good to them?
Nothing. That's it appeases, it. I guess, some people nothing. Showed up. They spent an hour of time requesting. This is a citizen thing where they send in and say, we want you to take up.
What is the point of doing it, though?
Deal with your local government. That's what you need. Your local conditions, your local issues. Don't try to save the planet from global warming. Please stop. Don't try to weigh in on big items like international affairs and, you know, wars here and there.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Right.
That shouldn't
because do you really think that anyone in Israel or anyone or in the UN Hamas
or
DC
or
anyone,
or nobody cares.
Like, oh, well, Flagstaff says they made a resolution that we should have a ceasefire. So, yeah, maybe we should do that.
They have some real clout. those Flagstaff City Council members. So you go, have fun with that while we have real problems to deal with right here in our communities, and quite frankly, our nation as well.
Our country.
Our country should be focusing on the problems we have, as like I opened up with, you know, watching the decay of Western civilization because we do so many stupid things. So it happens from the local all the way on to the top. And don't even get me going, or I will get going here in just a little bit, on the spending bill that was approved by Congress and signed by Biden, that just continues to spend more and more money, and got passed by Republicans, but got passed by more Democrats. So, you know, enough Republicans joined with the Democrats to go on another spending frenzy when the country is broke by all intents and purposes. All right. If you need new blinds, shutters, or shades, call the Blind Brothers. That's what Angela and I did last year, and they did a great job for us in Flagstaff. New blinds, new shutters, new shades. They will lay out all your options. They'll get you a great price. They also come in, do the installation, take out the old ones, put in the new ones. We had them do that installation. In fact, mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Get half off installation when you call the Blind Brothers, 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. And also thanks to Namarco's Pizza. We're due for some Namarco. I sent Dave a message of different pizza in Italy.
Yeah, the pizza the was interesting.
Yeah, different. Every region is different. But honestly, and I'm not making this up. Because Namarco's voted best pizza in Flagstaff, best pizza in wings. They don't have wings in Italy. Did you see any wings?
No.
No wings.
No.
Look, I like Italian food, but I think I like American Italian food more.
With the wings going with the pizza.
Yeah, they haven't figured that out yet over here, over there, right?
Yeah, no.
Namarco's Pizza, I still was like, hey, I think Namarco's Pizza, if they had a competition against these different pizza places in Italy, Namarco's would still win. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't just be best pizza of Flagstaff, it would be best pizza of Flagstaff and Italy. Well, I'm telling you. So go to Namarco's Pizza, three locations in Flagstaff, or you can order online at namarcospizza.com. Back in a minute. Welcome back. I was looking at my text messages. The Rodeo Steakhouse, John's doing a great job out there. I just mentioned great steaks out there, by the way. He also is bringing in people like candidates and stuff, trying to get people in there. He did one just a couple weeks ago. There's one coming up, meet and greet with Walt Blackman and David Marshall, who are both running for LD7. I can't read the date on that, so you tell me if you can figure that out, because is that blurry or my eyes blurry?
It's blurry. It looks like March 29th from March 29th. 4 to 8. Or maybe it might be 6 to 8.
Okay. Let's go with
6 to 8.
Let's go with 6 to 8.
Friday, March 29th.
Friday, March 29th, the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams.
Yeah.
And that's a good time to head on out there. So
Friday night.
Yeah. David Marshall, Walt Blackman. This is a big race because LD7, there's two seats open every election. Heavily leaning Republican district. Last I checked, there were going to be six people in this primary. So,
yeah.
Pretty intense there.
Crowded field there.
Yeah. I've still gone back and forth about having a, you know, we usually do like a forum where I bring in all the candidates. I don't know if I can do six. I don't know if I want to mentally, can I handle that?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just the jet lag talking right now.
Yeah, right.
But six of them is logistically challenging to get anything.
Not only to arrange it and organize just doing it, but then the actual,
you got 8.5 seconds because we've got 60.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time.
So I don't know if I'm going to do that this time. I've done it before when there was like three or four.
Yeah.
I'll probably just get them all in, like let them have their, you know, two segments on the show. And then you all decide if you know, who you think's worth it. You know what? I mean, that's all I can do. Mm-hmm. You just let them talk and see if, does this person sound like they're not going to be a total bozo? You know, right. And I'll probably weigh in on this one as we get closer. I'll probably have endorsements and stuff, I think, even in the primary on some of these big ones. It'll be tough, but let's just do that. We made a decision on air here. We'll bring them all in individually for now. We'll make it so. Unless some drop out and then it's a three or four.
Yeah,
maybe.
True. I mean, it's still early.
Sometimes the sparks are nice, but sometimes it's also predictable when you get into these debate type situations. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know.
Well, some people's campaigns really take off and others don't.
Yeah.
So you just never know what'll happen in the next few months.
You never know. You never know. Could create a, resolution recognizing a portion of Lake. This is the Board of Supervisors, Coconino County Board of Supervisors. They did a resolution recognizing a portion of Lake Mary Road as a recreation corridor. I don't know. Is this a good thing?
Actually, I don't mind this.
You don't mind this?
I mean, I think that they're probably going overboard, but
No.
I think that because between Lake Mary and Mormon Lake, or even just the outskirts of Flagstaff, there are a lot of recreation. There's a lot of bicyclists, runners. You know, the marathon runners come here to train, and it is busy, especially during the summertime. So they could probably use a bigger shoulder and maybe, you know, some more awareness because that road is narrow and there's not a lot of room on the side, and people go 55, 60, whatever it is. And I mean,
well, that one has, when you get to so you're driving down Lake Mary Road, it is such a beautiful drive there, by the way, or I guess jog or bike ride or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not jogging down the dang thing. I like to drive down it.
I know,
but tons of people are doing it.
And they're driving with a trailer attached or a boat trailer or a camper trailer.
Yeah.
And it's like it may be a big vehicle and the road is not very wide.
Well, it's kind of wide by Lake Mary.
Well,
but then it narrows down after
before
that.
Before and after that now.
Yeah.
Not so
much. Their proposal, the Board of Supervisors unanimously approved the resolution. This is a press release from them, recognizing a 21-mile portion of Lake Mary Road as a recreation corridor. It's milepost 338. So basically from the Flagstaff city limits, which is just outside, just before you get to lower Lake Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to go to South Mormon Lake entrance. So it's the first entrance to Mormon Lake. That's the one that goes kind of along. They got to keep that because that's right where they close the road down. Anytime there's three and a half inches of snow and they're closing that upper portion down to Mormon Lake, I guess is what they want to do. And they mentioned what you mentioned, which is the bikers, bike gangs, things like that. And
sometimes
the
there's a lot.
There's like a lot.
Three
like,
in a row.
No, I'll drive down there because sometimes I'll do that route the long way round to go to Camp Verde because that's one of the most beautiful drives in the state up there and then connecting to 260 or even down Stoneman Lake.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that have like big meets out there and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to go, put up some signs.
Well, and make the road a little wider. But like I was saying, they'll go overboard. They'll have,
of course,
you know, just like way too much going on there. I think that you know, you don't need this. What are they talking about? Center rumble strips and
no, because you still want to make it you still want to make it a good drivable route because it is a corridor that people like to take an automobile trip down,
right?
As well, you don't want to deter it from that.
Yeah, and we want it to be safe. So I don't mind them making more room and maybe some signs or something. But like I said, they'll go
crazy. They always do, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
One more here on a local level. This one was sad. The mayor of Fredonia, which is very other side of the canyon kind of up there, right? Right by the
Utah
border.
Yeah.
Beautiful area there. The mayor and her son were killed in a head-on collision right near the Arizona-Utah border. That happened March 16th. I guess they had the services this past weekend. Mayor Christy Riddle and her son. That's just tragic.
Yeah, that's awful.
Head on collision right there, I guess, on the Navajo Nation. A lot of narrow roads there. And I don't know exactly what happened, but a lot of two-lane roads that cut through there. So they did have the services there. Sit on a few more here, but before I do that, I want to remind you about Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. If you think, and I've got some things on housing, of course, today, always have that. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans can help you with a refinance, or if you're in a position where the credit card debt is kind of piled up and you own your home, though, you've had it for a couple of years, you might have quite a bit of equity, that credit card debt. And I don't see these interest rates going down in an extensive manner. I don't have a crystal ball, but we're talking like credit card rates. The Fed keeps talking about rate cuts, but then it's like, oh, we're going to talk about that later. Where are we at? January, February, March. We're a quarter of the way through the year.
Yeah.
And everybody thought there's going to be a Fed cut.
Right. It's like just right like away. The price of gas. It seems to go up a lot faster than go down.
Yeah. How's that happen? That's weird, huh? Yeah. But anyway, Kim Dawson, she can still get you great rates out there. Whether you're new, first-time home buyer, lots of programs as well, which are really important to connect with those first-time home buyer programs, investment properties, second homes. And then, like I said, if you're in the credit card debt spiral, you got to try to find a way out of that. If you're in your home already, call Kim Dawson, see what she can do for you. Here's her number. She does a great job throughout Northern Arizona. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, by the way, get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. 928-310-6458, 928-310-6458, or go to Kim or go to NovaHomeLoans.com, NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. Part I got to read. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. I should speed that up. I do say NMLS. So that's the NMLS. Is that, I don't even know if that's the legit way to say it. It all blends together. Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. The pork bill passed. I'm not talking about actual bacon or anything. Which, by the way, Europeans don't know what bacon is.
They call it bacon, and it is not bacon.
How many times I order, I'm like, finally, they got bacon, and it's a piece of ham. I'm like, that's Canadian bacon, dude. Get it right. And what, one or two places had actual bacon, I think.
It's not the same. Somebody, they don't cook it the same.
Yeah, it's why maybe can't it's bacon, you figure, this is why Europe's been declining. They don't know how to do bacon. They don't even know what bacon is. Pork bill passes, but not that. We're going to force the Europeans to actually produce bacon and not ham. What do they call a ham sandwich? A bacon sandwich? Anyway, they love the pork. This was the second part of the spending bill. I dealt with the first one like when we left.
And you're saying that because they don't want the government shut down. They're just going to keep extending it.
Yeah, it was going to shut down like Friday or Saturday had they not done this and saved us, you know, from no government for a weekend or something like anyone cares or matters. But it's loaded with pork. It was 1.2 trillion on top of the other spending bill that they did. This is the only thing they have left that they have control over because they've relegated all control basically to the bureaucratic state. So they control like 25-30% of the actual budget now. All the rest is auto spend. Mm-hmm. It's like they went online back in like 1990 something when auto pay online was first set up, and they just set it and they burned the passcode and they can now never change it. Yeah. They're just spending. I got an example here of why it's never going to change because even there was a number of Republicans. There was a ton, like 100 Republicans or something that voted against it, something like that. But tons of Republicans are still going to vote for all the spending because they like to bring the bacon home, not the Canadian bacon, but the actual money. They like to bring it home and then send out emails and go to their constituents, say, see, I brought home money back home to the district. And Republican Juan Ciscomani here in Arizona is a perfect example. It wasn't 8 seconds that this thing was passed, and he's like, I secured $26 million for Arizona District 6, right? Including town of Pima Volunteer Fire Station getting rebuilt with $2 million in Fed tax dollars. The city of Tucson's getting $3.5 million for water treatment, on and on. So here's the deal. Why the heck are we using federal money? Look, I don't know what's going on in Pima County and their volunteer fire station. I don't know what their facility looks like, if they're working out of a trailer or whatnot, right? Isn't that a
usually
local?
Usually that's property
that's
taxes.
That's a local issue. Why are we using Fed dollars for this? And then he's touting, oh, I brought this home to build Pima County a fire station, right? And the city of Tucson's getting $3.5 million for water treatment. They don't got their own money. Tucson has been a Democrat stronghold forever. So is Pima County, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have the money for their own water treatment locally. What are the local taxes going to? Yeah. Probably a bunch of crap.
Well,
they're probably saving the world from global warming or whatever crap they're doing
this
week. Yeah,
they're putting in their solar chargers or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Pay for your own dang water treatment. This should be local stuff. But Juan Ciscomani, He's a typical Republican
it's
nowadays.
It's all about getting reelected.
He's in a tight district, so he's got to try to appeal to, you know, those more left-leaning voters down there. So, hey, he's got to bring home the bacon, right? He goes on to say, my top priority was to keep the government working for the American people while striving for a responsible budget. Come on, dude.
Nothing responsible about that at all.
That funds Arizona priorities instead of government waste. Oh, my gosh. This guy was deep in the Ducey administration, by the way, so that should tell you something. Both funding packages were a product of a divided government. While it didn't include every provision we wanted, the bill fulfills the most important role the government has, which is to protect its citizens. You know, you're doing a great job of that at the southern border. Good job. Keep up the good work. With this package, our federal government stays open and operating for our constituents, supports our troops, and provides for a strong national defense strategy, and loves puppies. Well, I added that last part, but right? Unbelievable.
Yeah, with this package, the government stays open and operating, supports our troops, and provides for a strong national defense.
Yeah.
But what does the water treatment and the volunteer fire station have to do with that?
Yeah, and that was just a few items I picked out. I mean, it's loaded with pork. Anyway, there you go. The only good thing is, I will point out something good. Congressional Diversity and Inclusion Office was shut down by the one point. There was things in there that they were able to pack in. Yeah, so, okay, there were good things in there, but it's like, let's throw 50 bad things and then throw and take away one.
Yeah, they cut 1.2. Oh, is that trillion?
That's what they say. Oh. Yeah. No, it's a $1.2 trillion
funding package.
The Office of Diversity Inclusion.
How much did they
cut
doing that?
Yeah, yeah, $83. Yeah. No, it's probably a few hundred thousand dollars, right? An insane policy. it's like they didn't cut anything, but it is a good sign. And then apparently buried in there was you can't fly the rainbow flag, the LGBT flag in foreign embassies around the world, which personally, I don't care what you fly at your house, do what you want. Okay. But let's just fly the American flag at American embassies and stop flying every other statement flag, because you might be in an embassy where they look at that and a lot of the world doesn't have the same views as these politicians want them to have. They'll be like, yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, believe it or not. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with these politicians, right? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. If you need to fix your smartphone or if you're just going to stop and never have a smartphone again. I think they got some flip top ones at Just Wireless. But if we have to operate with a smartphone, I wouldn't have been able to do the show over there without it, right?
Yeah, but you need a new one because battery was a problem.
I'm going over to Just Wireless.
The whole time.
Just Wireless right there on Milton Avenue. Great line of refurbished phones. Or get your phone fixed with a new battery, which I need on this one. But I think I'm just going to upgrade the phone to a model from 3 years ago will be brand new to me. They take care of charging ports, crack screens, all of that. Go to Just Wireless right there on Milton Avenue in West Flagstaff or visit justwirelessaz.com. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Okay, a lot more coming up in hour two, and you're sticking around, right? Time's good?
Yeah, a little while.
I want to go into federal borrowing exploding. I want to go talk more about the population decline worldwide, demographic issues. Also want to talk a mountain lion attack in California, alcoholism deaths on the rise because of COVID, because of the politicians, plus the Moscow massacre and what's going on over there. Hang tight. Back in just a few. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Gettles High Desert Mechanical.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Jeff Horvitz here with Angela. We are back in the studio in Flagstaff after 2 weeks traveling abroad. And I can tell you one thing. Some countries, a lot of countries, do not have the plumbing standards of America.
Yes.
I can tell right away.
I can think of three we recently went to.
All three, right? We did Italy, Greece, and Turkey, right? With a quick layover in London, real quick on the way back. Wow. London Heathrow is like a third world airport. Let me tell you, the only thing that was lacking was chickens running around, right?
And a dirt runway.
I mean, how is that the hub at this point? It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's so
and
old.
British
and
Airways
it's all spread out so far.
It's so bad. And it's like 1952 was the last renovation. You know, 1952 that would have been who was the prime minister from World War II? He got back in office
Churchill?
The second time. Churchill. He was there christening the airport, right?
I thought Heathrow was the new airport though.
Nah, that thing's a dog, man.
What's the new one?
I don't know. That's new. So 1952. Now, Turkey had a new airport, new modern airport. That blew that thing away.
The only problem with those is they put them out in the middle of nowhere, and then it takes you an hour to get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll probably take you that from Heathrow, too. That's pretty far out, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, it's new 1952 or something.
Yeah, Athens one, too.
And British Airways, like the pride of the empire. What a dog that thing is.
Oh, yeah. The airline.
We flew like five different airlines. That one was the biggest dog. I mean, really? They come around and they give you a little like half bottle of water, right?
A little mini bottle.
And
yeah.
a little cracker.
For a 4-hour flight.
For a 4-hour flight from Greece to Britain, which is an international flight, right? And the British used to be great. They'd come out and serve you a meal and white gloves and
tea.
At least give me some tea.
I mean,
tea.
Come on.
Britain. Tea.
Yeah, you
right?
know that your tea.
Yeah, this was the most dog of an airline I flew on out of all the other ones. Turkish was one of the best. They actually, hour and a half flight.
Surprisingly.
They served a full meal. An hour and a half. Remember when they used to do that here in America? Like domestic flights, you'd get like at least a sandwich or a Twinkie or something, right?
Yeah.
British Airways, half bottle of water and a cracker. And then they had the nerve to come around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sell at outrageous prices food, right?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm not getting anything. I'm drinking my half bottle of water and I'm mm-hmm. going to like it, right? I'm not giving you a dime, right? Then as we're landing, they like pass around a box for like poor kids in third world countries, right? Which is, okay, that's noble, right?
Box, yeah.
And I'm like, why don't you take some of the thousands of dollars you just bilked out of everyone to get a drink on your flight?
To get a lousy
and
cup
donate
of coffee.
That. You have the nerve to ask me for money. You have to sell your drink
You're
money, man.
Charge me £3, which is equivalent to what, $4 or $5 for a lousy cup of coffee airline. And then ask me for money to donate to, I don't even know what charity it was.
I don't know what they were doing. And I was like, are you for real? You're literally sending a box around trying to get money for kids in India or something. I don't know where it was, right? Pakistan.
Well, the funny thing was before we went on this, Olivia was asking what airlines we were flying around because we did take some, little side trips. And the one on Turkish Airlines, I was kind of saying, you know what? It might be surprisingly good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, it was. That was one of the better flights we had. It was like 2.5 hours, I want to say, from Venice to Istanbul.
Yeah.
Full meal.
Full meal.
Full meal. Like an omelet and, I don't know, yogurt or fruit or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like a full meal in a 2.5 hour flight, including coffee.
Yeah. And the service was nice. I mean, sometimes these countries that are trying to develop a little more, they put it into their airlines. I hear like if you take some Middle Eastern airlines, they're like plush because it's kind of like their symbol of pride, like British Airways, you see. Now, we took British from Phoenix to London. That was a direct flight. And they serve meals
that
on
that.
But
okay.
They had like beans and stuff. It was like breakfast. And there's like, I was like, this is weird. But that's Britain. I mean, you don't go there for.
Well, it's just their food.
Yeah, they just got that. But Europe-wide. Yeah, try to avoid British if you can. That'd be my opinion.
And they were late.
Yeah, and they were late.
I just think it was weather.
I'm sorry.
But still.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And the airport's horrible. Anyway, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I want to get to what's going on in Moscow. Let's do that here in just a second. If I was selling a home in the Flagstaff area, call Kelly Broaddus. I got to get her on this settlement that the realtors had while we were away.
Oh yeah,
you hear about that one on the buy side.
I don't know very much about it.
Yeah, you got to. Let's just get her on. But there was a big like $400-something million
settlement.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to who pays for and how do you put in the contract, who pays for the buyer's agent? Mm-hmm. You know, Angela helps me find a house. Who pays for that? And they're saying no, the realtors can't do it the way they were doing it for a long time, which is. basically that the seller was paying on both ends, but really the buyer pays for everything.
Well, in the end, the buyer pays for it. The buyer's paying
for everything, right? I mean, it might be on the seller's side.
It comes out of the seller's proceeds.
Yeah, but they're just...
And then usually they split it or there's some kind of...
If you're lucky. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get Kelly on because she knows this stuff in and out. So why don't you call her, though? Because she understands the buyer side of things. She also understands the seller side of things. She puts the money into these sales and these purchases, especially when you're selling a home, listing it, getting the pictures done, helping you out with the strategy to sell it. I mean, she's doing it all the time for people, doing an incredible job, pre-listing work, just setting realistic expectations for people and then getting things sold in a couple weeks a lot of times and for top dollar. So call Kelly Broadus, see what she can do for you. 888-446-5602. 888-446-5602. Or go to northernarizonafinehomes.com. That's northernarizonafinehomes.com. You get an instant valuation there as well, which is a cool tool.
You were talking about the plumbing in other countries. I don't think you got very far on that.
Oh, yeah, because I went off on my British Airways tangent. The plumbing sucks.
Yeah.
They don't understand
the
plumbing.
The bathrooms get soaked from the shower.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we got this great marble bathroom, but we don't have a shower curtain.
Yeah.
And they don't know what caulk is and silicone and things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't just, that joint that butts up the marble to marble, it's great that you can use so much marble in Europe and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. It's actually fine craftsmanship that they do in a lot of places, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to put a bead of silicone or caulk there or something to stop the... water from going behind and rotting away.
If there's no shower curtain or
there's water everywhere.
Door, then the water gets everywhere.
You could always tell countries that aren't going to lead the way anytime soon by their plumbing. And, okay, I love Turkey, by the way. We had a great time there. I'm not moving there anytime soon, but
that went
it was
surprisingly
it was a cool place.
Yeah.
It was a cool place. I don't know about
I think we were all kind of like, you know, we didn't know what to expect. We'd never been there before.
Yeah. No, it was great.
And especially the kids are like, what's in Turkey again? Like, why are we going there?
Constantinople.
But we actually really enjoyed it. I think all five of us did.
I'm surprised they let me out. I keep calling Istanbul Constantinople, which it should be. It should be Constantinople. You know, they shouldn't have renamed it. Shame on them. Anyway, I tell the people in Turkey, beautiful, like five-star type hotel. It was great. Turkish bath underneath. I mean, and affordable, you know, what you'd pay here for, you know, it costs you a fortune here, right? But there's an odor emanating from the... floor.
Yeah, I thought it was smoke, like someone had smoked in
I
the
thought
room.
It was that they had like a wooden floor thing for the shower, the big this big weird thing, right? Beautiful craftsmanship, like I said, but I thought it was like mildew. And he opened up, he goes, well, Istanbul, plumbing comes up, you know, odors of Istanbul.
That's
it's
just
Istanbul.
The smell of Istanbul.
It's just the smell of Istanbul, he told me, right? I said, yeah, but why don't you have a trap? So this is a little pipe that's curved and the water traps in it, right? I don't know if you all know plumbing.
It also traps the odor from coming out.
So like I ask Olivia, I said, hey, what's the trap for? She goes, well, when I drop my ring down the sink or my earring, right?
Yeah.
And you can open up that little curved pipe underneath like your sink, for example. And then it holds everything in there.
And you have to unclog my hair sometimes.
Yeah. Great. So, I love doing that. I remember when we got married, it was like, it was in the vows, right? Anyway.
It's like once a year. What's the big deal?
Twice a year. The big deal is I got to do it, but I love doing it. Anyway, the trap, it's really, it creates a vapor lock there. Water stays in there. The water goes down. When you run in the thing, it pushes up the water and goes down into the sewage system. But it also leaves some water in the little U, right? Mm-hmm. So no odors can come up through that.
Right.
And I couldn't explain it to the guy because he barely knew English and he's speaking Turkish. And I'm like, I'm not going to get this through. But seriously, this is nothing new. It's a trap. They sell them at home. Do you have a Home Depot? I don't know if they did. They sell them at Home Depot for like $550 for the whole kit. In lira, that's like 5,000 lira or something. But I'm like, go get a trap in here so the odors don't come up. So you can always tell countries that you're like, and don't drink the water, right?
Oh, yeah.
Signs of don't drink the water. Yeah. It's like, how can you not? Other than that, Turkey was great, but can't drink the water and odors come up from the
sewer
system.
Well, we knew about the water going in.
Yeah.
But,
all right. Speaking of foreign countries in both Europe and Asia, Russia had this attack this past weekend. I guess it was some kind of concert venue. And I think it was one of their biggest malls or something like that, or, you know, big, big commercial venue. The attack killed at least 137 people, last I checked, including three children, injured 182 others. At least 101 of the victims were being treated in hospitals on Sunday, Russian officials said. All of a sudden, there was talk of, oh, ISIS did this. And I was kind of surprised by that. I was like, ISIS is still, they're targeting Moscow. ISIS is still, this is still a thing. I mean, I was having flashbacks to like post 9/11, you know, 2002, 2003. Remember like the terror alert levels and all that. And look, I don't know what happened, but I can tell you whatever's coming out of the Russian government is probably inaccurate. But I can also tell you whatever's coming out of the U.S. government is probably inaccurate, with laden with propaganda on both, both sides. What I do worry about here is Putin is now in a position that he's going to feel like he has to escalate, because he's blaming it on Ukraine, of course, right? I don't know what's there. I don't know who did it, like I said. But he now has a country that's probably, he can easily, whether it was the case or not, he can easily convince and get them pumped up and juiced up to continue. I see no end in sight for what's going on in Ukraine and the Russia-Ukraine war. I saw a lot about what's going on with France, Germany, Poland, and you know, they're sending a lot of material to Ukraine. But a lot of talk, especially from France, from Macron, who's, I don't know, probably never done anything but be a politician in his life, right? You go into trenches first over there. But really talking up the possibility, Germany less so, but France especially, troops to Russia. To Ukraine. Because how much money and material can you send to Ukraine? How many, and I've heard some numbers and they're astounding. How many men of fighting age have been killed in Ukraine? Who's going to man these systems,
right?
And fire the guns? It's going to come to a point here, if this continues to drag on, there ain't going to be enough bodies left to do this at this point. The numbers are astounding of how many dead there probably are on both sides, but particularly on the Ukrainian side. It's a meat grinder. It's reminiscent of World War One warfare. Trench war. Literally,
I haven't seen
trench.
Any of those numbers. I'm going to have to look that up.
No, I've seen it in the hundreds of thousands.
Really?
It's staggering. You don't know, because you're getting stuff from Russia, you're getting stuff from the U.S., from CIA.
I had no idea it was that big.
It's astounding how many. I mean, it has literally been compared to, and let's look it up at the break, because I don't want to misquote, but it's an astounding number of people that they estimate have died. It's like a meat grinder with trench warfare going on and all this and that, right? And my point being is, how long do we go until these nations like France and others have to send bodies, because there isn't the bodies to fight against Russia? It's just going to keep going. And now with the Moscow thing, they're going to have more ammunition, politically speaking. Putin's going to, he's going to have the country rally behind him, because he's going to, whether or not it came from, wherever it came from, he's going to point it towards Ukraine.
Yeah.
And, you know, they captured the alleged people that did this near the Ukraine border, they claim. And, you know, who the heck knows, though? But you can see how he's going to paint it. He's a master at this stuff. He's a master at this stuff. He's not a moron like Biden. Whether good or bad, he's not a moron like Biden. And he's done a lot of bad. But, yeah, that's what I worry about, in this thing escalating even more in this case. So, glad we didn't get on the wrong ferry in Istanbul, right?
I know.
The one that went to Odessa.
That's when my brother sent me a text. He's like, it's good you're on the southern side of the Black Sea and not the northern side. Yeah,
I mean, we're right. Go through the Bosphorus. You're right there in the Black Sea.
Yeah.
You know, so not too far from everything going on. Your thoughts on Moscow. Did you see anything?
I need to
look that up. I got a sponsor coming up here, but your thoughts on what's going on with this Moscow massacre, also possible escalation, continued, you know, cold war that we're in once again with Russia. That's really a hot war that's going on. Time ticks on, but nothing seems to ever change, right? Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Plus, I've got the listener line. You can always leave a comment. Appreciate everybody who does that, and we'll try to get that on the program as soon as possible. 877-971-3971. On certain times, I like to own, and it's been uncertain for a long time, right? And I've been buying physical gold and silver for 25 years now, probably more than that, probably close to 30 years. I've been buying physical gold and silver from Desert Gold Exchange for many years now. Justin and his family run company. Man, they do a great job, and no problem answering my questions. I know a lot of you had commented on that as well. When you call Desert Gold Exchange, they'll take the time to, hey, what's the best mix here of different physical, you know, gold, silver, coins, bars, etc. Talk to them. Get their free investor's kit as well. Mention the Jeff Horvitz show. They'll send that up. No problem. They'll treat you really good. 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Go to desertgoldexchange.com. Your eyes are...
Yeah. Well, I read one thing that was like 10,000, but then they're like, well, it's hard to tell because, you know, stuff's not reported, right?
Yeah.
But then there's more than 10,000. Another one. That says up to 500,000.
Yeah, that's the one I was reading. Was
wow.
So that's why I said easily 100,000, maybe hundreds of thousands of people died.
I'm sure it's
in this
underestimated
conflict.
For sure.
Yeah, because Ukraine's got to report it differently than Russia's got to report it. It's not good.
Yeah,
and like I said, what happens when you've got these countries that want to keep this going, but there's not the manpower there.
Yeah, they just can't sacrifice any more people.
What's the next step? So we'll see what happens there. We flew Boeing.
Yeah, after we got off 2 days ago.
After we got off, you know, crappy British air there, and we our flight from Phoenix London to Phoenix, which we just made. We almost missed it. And we had prime seats.
Yeah.
We had Angela was able to get
booked it really far in advance. And I wanted the best seats we could have, just like anyone else.
Yeah. Minus paying for business class or first class or anything other than steerage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we needed the economy.
Coach, baby. Oh, is that what they call it?
Non-refundable
economy.
Non-changeable ticket. Okay. Cause I had to buy four of them and they're not cheap. You know, a lot of other times we save up airline miles for a trip like this, but this one we didn't.
A trip got anyway, out of hand, but anyway.
Yeah, I got the bulkhead seats four in a row in the middle of the plane. Four,
legs up on the bulkhead wall.
Yeah, there was no one
in
front of
us.
It
was better than first class, or at least
it worked out good.
First class has those sleeper things. I finally found the sleeper things. They always showed them in the pictures. Mm-hmm. First flight I ever took where they had, like, the whole front of the plane was those things that recline.
Yeah.
They're $5,000 a piece minimum.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. Can you just buy two seats and coach?
Yeah.
You know?
And just...
I mean, 5,000 piece, we're like...
Well, you can't really recline then, but...
Yeah, no. It's a huge
difference.
Anyway,
I got the bulkhead seats four in a row in the middle of the plane.
Yeah.
And those get scapped up real quick, so it was a good thing.
Oh, people are looking at
early.
Us like envious.
Oh, yeah. They were walking by like, oh, how'd they get those?
But yeah, and I was just like a total snob.
No one
like,
in front of us.
Yeah, but anyway,
and
it was...
It did work out.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was
for
good.
That flight.
And it was a Boeing 777.
It's a 10-hour flight, so you have 10 and a half or so.
That was the only Boeing we took this whole thing. All the others were Airbus. Was I sitting there worried? No, not really. I mean, once in a while.
Oh, I was when we were taking off.
Yeah, I was like...
There was really bad wind in London going on.
Yeah,
and the whole thing is shaking and rattling, and I'm like, oh, no, we're in a Boeing.
And it's sad. This is supposed to be... This is like Britain, with British Air. It used to be like kind of the emblem of the empire there, right?
Yeah.
This is Boeing. It's like American strength, American ingenuity, and you're like... Shh.
We weren't on the ones that... had crashed in the last 5 years.
But those both happened
during the takeoff.
No, Boeing 777, before we left, there was an incident somewhere in the U.S. where something flew off. Look that up. I think it was in Houston.
And the
door was a 737.
Gear. The landing gear.
Yeah, there was a 777 incident, too.
Oh. I didn't tell you about the ones that crashed and like killed all the passengers.
Oh, yeah. No, it was 737.
There was one in 2018, one in 2019.
Okay. So a good documentary on this is on Netflix. I think it's the Downfall of Boeing, it was called. Mm-hmm. And you should watch that one
because they
go over the two crashes of the 737 MAX.
Right.
Which
is
MAX 8, I believe. Now they're doing the MAX 9s.
Those both happened like within 10 to 15 minutes after takeoff.
Yeah. What they did was they put software in there to account for the massive engines they stuck to retrofit this old design, basically. And the engines would, I can't remember, point the nose down or point the nose up. It'd create a stall situation.
Well, when it was taking off and the nose was going higher, it would indicate that it's going to stall, yeah. and then it would try and correct that when there was really nothing wrong.
There was nothing
wrong.
But the yeah. software corrected, and the pilots yeah. didn't know that because Boeing cut some corners, and they would try to and crash, caused two crashes. But now recently you had the door blown out in an Alaska
flight. And then
flight.
The last one was a landing gear.
I thought that was, okay. I don't know what model that, I thought it was a 777 because that's why I was a little sketchy. I was like, oh, I hope our landing gear doesn't fall off. But we know it's a 737. The 777 we're in was older though. I could tell it was a little bit of an older model. So I felt a little better. I'd rather fly in an old Boeing than a new Boeing. Mm-hmm. Right. But this is not good. No bueno. You know, everybody on that plane's thinking the same thing, or the wing's going to fall off or something, because Boeing, you know, went woke, and Boeing was more concerned with 3-month profit reports than putting out the best, safest product. They had such a stellar, spectacular safety record for so long, right? Owen was saying
the March 8th, which was the day we were leaving, was 737.
No, 737.
Okay. 737 MAX suffers gear collapse after landing.
Okay, all right.
That was happened in Houston. That was literally the day we left for Greece. Yeah.
Okay. So today, the Boeing CEO said he's going to step down, as he should. At the end of the year. It should go now. I mean, this company is, look, if these are horrible accidents that have happened already, especially the two foreign ones that happened on 737 MAX, I think it was the MAX 8s, right? Mm-hmm. These are hundreds of people dead.
Yeah.
Right?
All of them.
Yeah.
The entire plane.
If something happens in the U.S., it has to happen in the U.S. because anything outside the U.S. is like, oh, yeah, no, that's just pilot error or something, right? I mean, people don't, it doesn't have the same impact.
Yeah.
My prediction, though, is if they don't fix it quick and go through these planes probably and figure out
what's
wrong.
Well, they've grounded a lot of those.
They have. If they have an incident where there is loss of life, Boeing's done. Yeah. I mean, it'd probably never be done because the government will backstop it, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. But Boeing is that close to just being that.
Well, and they're
about to be Sears.
Yeah.
Right? Or Kmart or something.
They're also losing RCA. The commercial airline division head or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And the board of directors president.
Board of directors chairman is not going to rerun. So basically, as one commentator put it today, leadership has been decapitated.
Mm-hmm.
In Boeing, it's bad then.
Well, they need to figure something out people are going to stop flying. I mean,
yeah, they're going to say, I don't want to fly on that. Yeah. And I was looking, I was like, yeah, I don't, if it says 737,
yeah.
And it's probably fine for the most part, but you don't know.
Yeah.
And what the hell happened to Boeing? And, you know, I got to get in touch with Bruce. He's the aviation expert. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Get him on to try what happened. Bruce, if you're listening, what happened to Boeing? How did this happen? I think a lot of it has to do with worrying about the 3-month profit report. You know, when it comes to shares and things like that and stockholder mm-hmm. reports. And it's really sad what's happened there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we made it. We're good to go. All right. I know you got to get out of here.
Yes,
so
I do.
You go do that. And we'll have you back on maybe tomorrow if you're good.
Oh.
All right.
Pretty please.
Please. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Remember, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, call Diamond Auto Glass first. They'll get that fixed really quick, and they do an excellent, excellent job. Plus, if you need a whole new windshield, Diamond Auto Glass will take care of you. 928-779-4140. 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbit Show.
Hey, thanks to Rob Wilson for coming in. I think twice while I was gone. I didn't hear every show, but Mark Howitt did a great job, and Rob Wilson did a great job from what I heard of him. And he always does, right? And he does a great job at Timberline Firearms and Training, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Training courses that, you know, you should take. And in my trip to Europe here, talking to multiple people, I was talking about hunting with them. They're just like shocked at like the Second Amendment and that we can go hunting and that we can go own firearms. This is so unique to America. So we cherish our Second Amendments, and we should also do that by getting the proper training. And Timberline Firearms and Training will do that, and they'll help you along the way, whether you're new to firearms or somewhere in the middle or expert level. They'll bring you to that next level of safety and marksmanship and all that. Give them a call, 928 928- 928-526-7900, 928-526-7900. Or take a trip 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Enjoy their great indoor shooting range, plus all the ammo, firearms, accessories, and Liberty safes as well. Again, that's Timberline Firearms and Training. All right, welcome back. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Always love hearing from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I was kind of skimming through like Arizona Republic, and you know, I have this whole long list that I go through some news organization. Like, oh man, some it's challenging. But anyway, there was an interesting article on alcoholism deaths on the rise. Long article, but I guess there's a study that was done. And basically, the whole summation is Arizona residents drank more than normal in 2020. And it's like, really? And it goes on to say, because of COVID-19, because the lockdowns force, here's a direct quote from the article, COVID-19 lockdowns forced people to stay indoors and working from home became a new normal. Remember that phrase, the new normal? But only a few years later, the effect of that drinking is manifesting in high hospitalization rates for liver diseases, especially alcoholic cirrhosis, an Arizona Republic analysis of the state's hospitalization records show. No surprise here. I mean, is this any shock at all? I mean, this is what I was saying during COVID, that we are creating an unhealthy environment. People aren't going to the doctor. People aren't going to the dentist. People are drinking more. They're partying more. The one thing I got wrong, I thought that there was going to be a baby boom out of this thing, that it was going to be like, 1952 all over again, and all these babies were going to be coming out here 9 months later because everyone's locked down. That really didn't materialize. So I was wrong there. I'm willing to admit that. But I was saying that COVID-19, the lockdowns the government's causing, and the idiocy of COVID, right? You know, we're about 2 months into this thing, and I was like, that's it. This is stupid. The bubonic plague didn't develop here. Not a third of the population is about to die of the Black Death here. But they kept it going. So I say, where is the responsibility of these politicians that force this upon us? Is Fauci, for example, who's no longer working for the feds, but God knows what he's into, and he was the highest paid government official in the land. Is there any recourse? Can we get some of that money back from people like him or something, or even beyond that? I mean, it's crazy what they did. And there's no surprise here that people are now suffering from alcoholism and other issues. Drug use in America is way up. And it's all because of these boneheaded politicians and bureaucrats, and the general public went along with it. Not enough people stood up. We can never let this happen again. I'm glad these reports come out, but sadly, most people just kind of wash it aside, and COVID might as well have been, 100 years ago at this point. On a side note here, we've been talking a lot about our trip over to Europe. I saw no signs of COVID. I was actually worried when we booked these tickets so far in advance, as Angela was just saying, that we were going to get over there and there's going to be some kind of mask requirement. Could you imagine flying a 10-hour flight? And maybe some of you did this, but we were talking about our flight back from London to Phoenix here just the other day. Could you imagine having to do that wearing a mask? You know, and deal, I mean, flying that long flight is hellacious to begin with, but actually having to deal with it doing a mask or something like that. I saw no remnants really of COVID or any attempt to, hey, do you have a vaccine? Are you feeling sick? This or that, nowhere. And Italy was one of the worst nations during COVID. Remember when COVID first hit, Italy was locked down, the worst place to be in the world when it comes to COVID. And part of that is because there's a lot of old people in Italy. The age of Italians is very old. They're not having any kids. They're facing that demographic cliff that we were talking about earlier in the program. And so they were got spooked, and their politicians spooked the general public more than just about any nation in the world. Even in Italy, I didn't see any remnants of COVID, other than once in a while, you'd go into a store or something. We went into a couple of what you'd call a grocery store, not by our standards, though. And they had the stickers on the floor that was the 6 feet social distancing, although it was in meters or something, right? Those stickers are still there. There were some of those moving escalators, those flat ones, at an airport somewhere. I can't remember where. It might have been Venice, that had the, they sprayed the 6-foot thing where you were supposed to stand on the escalator. It was actually sprayed, and those are still there. It's there, you know, forever. It, like looking at Roman ruins, you'll be like, oh, look at that graffiti. Wonder what that meant. So that was about the only remnants we had there. But yeah, alcoholism, deaths on the rise because of COVID. I would say not exactly. It's because of the dumb politicians that forced all of this. Also, I see that there was a case against the FDA. Some doctors had sued over the ivermectin issue. Remember, this one was a big one. You couldn't even question COVID. You couldn't even question alternative treatments. And ivermectin was one that was touted and pushed and that some people said was very effective. The mainstream media and, you know, the White House and everybody said, no, it's not. It's supposed to be used for horses. Anyway, they made them label the bottle or something that it was for animal use. And these doctors said, no, that's not true. You're causing our patients problems. You're giving medical advice and you don't know what you're talking about, basically. Anyway, the FDA had to relent and discontinued that forced label that it was not, and doing this from memory from the article I read earlier, that it's not for just animal use, that there are other uses for it, basically. So another win when it comes to the COVID hysterics and the battles that went on that sadly, like I said, are forgotten about now. All right, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. A good time to head over to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Voted best sports bar in Flagstaff so many years in a row at this point. Today is their Hot Links special still going on. Don't forget tomorrow, starting at lunch all the way through dinner, Taco Tuesday. I might go tomorrow. I have not had a taco in 2 weeks. There were some tacos for sale in Greece. I decided not to do it. I didn't want to, I didn't get sick the whole trip, right? Usually when I travel, there's some kind of foodborne ailment that I get. And I figured if I go get tacos in Greece, that would be it. So I avoided that. So I'm ready for a good taco. Tomorrow's Taco Tuesday. Wednesday's Half Price Wings. Put that on your calendar. Half Price Wings on Wednesday. And that's starting from lunch through dinner. They got great specials all the time at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Great drink specials as well. Always something awesome on their $4 menu. Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown, but outside of downtown. So you got plenty of parking and you don't have to deal with the downtown madness. Sportsman's Bar and Grill. I mentioned this one earlier, the new spending bill that the politicians passed. That's a bloated spending bill with all kinds of pork. New government spending bill does ban U.S. embassies from flying the pride flag. So Biden had to sign something. Maybe he didn't know what was in it because it was thousands of pages dumped at the, or 1,000+ pages dumped at the last minute. So I'm sure he will be surprised about that. So there was some wins in there in this spending bill, but overall just a super bloated bill that's... You know, just same problem. I see no spending changes going on, no appetite for the spending. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal that the Treasury market has grown by more than 60% since 2019. So once again, we got into that COVID era, the spending has gone up and out of control. $27 trillion, that's what the spending, as far as the Treasury market here, Treasury market has grown more than 60% to $27 trillion since the end of 2019. $27 trillion. It's roughly sixfold larger than before the 2008 to 2009. Sixfold the Treasury market. So the amount of money that the U.S. government owes, meaning you and I, the taxpayers, is roughly sixfold larger than before the 2008 and 2009 financial crisis, which was a bad one. And we're in that much worse off situation when it comes to our debt. Now the mounting, and I've been warning you about this, mounting sales sparked market turmoil last fall, prompting the Treasury to shift towards selling more short-term debt. I've been warning about this, and there's something like, was it 7 or 9 trillion? A huge amount of treasuries that are due just this year, because what they've been doing is they're buying, well, because the appetite out there is only for short-term treasuries because everybody's worried about the long-term financial situation here. So they're selling shorter and shorter term treasury bills. So it might be a year or something like that. And then they're due again. So all this is coming due and the debt just continues to grow. Now, that's why the Fed's not going to lower rates. I don't think the Fed's going to lower rates this year. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they keep throwing it out there. If they do it, it'll be an eighth point, quarter point. It'll be a token amount just to try to cover their bases a little bit and say, oh, we did something. We told you we were going to have a cut. We did a whole quarter point for the year, you know, 2024. I don't think they can do it. So if you're pinning on rate cuts, I don't think it's going to happen because inflation's still a big problem. And they've got all these treasuries out there. There's no way they can attract enough buyers unless the government just buys the bills themselves. You know, the Federal Reserve buys the bills from the government, which same thing to me. There's no way they're going to be able to sell these treasuries if they lower the rates, and treasury yields got to go higher because they got to attract the buyers. Right now it's like a 4.25%, 4.5%. So that's why your mortgage rates are staying up above, you know, 7% and all that. So yeah, huge problem. And then let's wrap it back around to the population decline. Angela and I started off the show. No kids over in Italy. No kids over in Greece. Turkey had a lot of young people, Muslim country. You're seeing growth in those countries, Middle East countries, and Africa. But the rest of the Western world, including, and I would include China and Japan, Korea, in that Western world conversation, massive declines in population. So who's going to pay for all of this debt going forward? There won't be enough people to do it. Now, the UN has come out, and I was listening to a podcast earlier today. UN has come out and said, oh, we're going to be at $11 billion by, oh, I think it was 2100 or whatever the year they came up with. They've drawn back. They've come back down to like, I think it was $9 billion or something like, or I'm sorry, like $10 billion. So they continue to revise their population growth. Population is slowing down in the world, except for some African nations, Middle Eastern countries, things like that. But even those are starting to slow down. We passed what, the $8 billion mark here, or not 8 billion, 8 billion person mark recently. And, you know, all expectations are we're going to get to 9 billion. I don't know if we're going to make it there because the numbers are drastically slowing down and the baby boomers are getting old. So all of this debt, baby boomers are in, you know, 70s, 80s, and all of those folks need massive amounts of support when it comes to medical. You know, you need a lot of workers to support them. There's just not enough people there. So we got a heck of a problem to deal with when it comes to the demographics going forward. And I don't see how we get out of this other than work through it. And, you know, maybe by the 2050s, people will start having babies again. I don't know. Fertility rates are way down in the world as well. I was reading an article on one of the plane rides that global fertility rates still way down. But with all that, I do want to say this and wrap this up about our trip over to Europe. I am still actually, and after any, and it's been a while since I've traveled over in Europe, you know, and it's been a while since we went to Asia there in Turkey, at least went across the Bosphorus and tipped our toe into Asia. I've been to Southeast Asia and places like that, been to North Africa, been to Egypt. But it's been a while since I've taken a big trip like this. I will tell you that anytime I return to the U.S., I'm still bullish on the U.S. overall. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have a massive amount of problems and we're not about to come unglued and fall apart. But compared to the most areas of the world, we got it so dang good here. Like I said, the plumbing doesn't stink generally if you do it right and you just follow basic plumbing standards. They don't even know about it over there. It's like, what's a trap, you know, at least in Turkey, right? We've got it so much better here than so much of the rest of the world. We don't want to blow it. We're in the process of blowing it. And the West is in the process of blowing it. We can't let that happen because somebody will come in, they'll fill the vacuum, but it may not be filled with anything that's very good. But traveling overseas like we just did, I'm definitely bullish on America in the long term if we can just get our you know what together, because we have so much going for us here in this country. And if we just follow the Constitution, and if we just follow, which we're not, and we should be, free market capitalism, you know, entrepreneurship, things like that, private property rights. If we would just do all that and continue to do that and get back on track, there's no stopping us compared to other countries. It's just phenomenal what we've got here, but it's also depressing to come back and see how we quickly are trying to ruin it. And there's actively people out there actually trying to ruin it. within our population and people coming in from abroad that are trying to screw it up as well. But people who are actively here that think we owe something to the rest of the world and so we've got to devalue and diminish our standards of living. No, I say they should all go live somewhere overseas for a long time and see how good we actually have it. And don't rely on the income coming from the U.S. at the same time. Go live overseas for a while and see how good we got it here. And don't screw it up. That's all we can hope for, right? All right. Hey, you want to save some money when it comes to your insurance, call my good friend Eric Boatner and his wife Lisa Boatner at Allstate Insurance Agency in Flagstaff. No matter where you're at in Arizona, they can help you out. Have them shop your, price your policies, your homeowner's insurance, your auto, business policies, things like that. They've got it all. I did that. Angela actually did all the work and we saved a lot of money. And everybody's telling you right now, you can't save on insurance. The insurance is just going up and up and up. I tell you, I saved money, especially on my auto, especially on my homeowner's policy. They've got life insurance, all that stuff. Call them up. Eric Boatner, Allstate Agency, 928-774-8722. 928-774-8722. And check out their 5-star Google reviews as well. Final thoughts. Hang tight. Back in a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Mark Howitt will be here with me tomorrow. Are there troubling signs in the construction industry and in that market? He's very well involved with that, so we'll discuss that. Plus, all the latest, we'll get you caught up. And I didn't get to comments today, but I will tomorrow. I've got several piled up, so if you've put in comments, look for those tomorrow. I'll share those with Mark, and we'll get to those. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hope you all have a great, safe night. Back here tomorrow. Hopefully not jet-lagged. Take care. See you soon. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.